yourselves in both a third good on third down this year. Is it anything more complicated than just being good on first and second down and putting yourselves into, you know, easy to get distances, or is there a mentality that different teams have on third down?
I think it's probably several things. One, the mentality that comes along with it is the amount of practice time and preparation you put into it. And I think Coach and our staff, we put a lot of emphasis on it the whole off season, during the season, and the way we prepare for it. Then it is, as you said, secondly, related to how far you have to go, which historically has always been true. But then the third thing, I think, is players. And this year, you know, we have some players that have really stepped up and have been making plays on that down when we really need them to step up.
Frank, just past week, you played a team that played a little more zone than man typically. Is it the opposite with the Vikings, that they go a little more man than zone, or what do you see?
Yeah, I mean, they mix it up. That's one thing about this defense. I mean, the statistics would say it's a little bit more zone, but they have a way of mixing things up, throwing a lot of different variations of even a three-deep zone at you. And then when they play man, they're going to mix in man. And like we say every week, there's probably a 10 to 15% difference swing, I think, that can go week to week depending on the matchups, I think they have.
Frank, on a play like that's in the league, both yards and points, what's the big challenge facing that? What jumps out?
I think like last week, we need to get in a rhythm. We need to stay in phase. You know, we had a lot of third and manageables last week. I think we avoided negative plays. We had obviously a few negative runs, but we didn't have too many penalties. But I think the thing against this team is, you know, you have to. Last week, I think we had three drives of over 10 plays. So that's the challenge against going up against one of the better defenses in the league. And so I think one thing is we have to scheme, and our players, we all together have to find ways to make a few chunk plays here and there.
Frank, when you had a wrinkle like that handoff to Nelson Aguilar, can you just take us through, when do you decide that's a good idea? How often do you have to rep it, and how do you know when it's the right time to call?
Coaches have just had a knack of seemingly to call those at the right time. As far as how we game plan them, it comes up different every week. You know, we really work well as a staff together in game planning. And so, you know, sometimes somebody might have an idea or see something on film, or somebody might have done something in their own past in a past staff. And all of a sudden, it's a dynamic thing that goes on when we're game planning. And we get an idea, we kind of sort through it, debug it. Does it fit us? How would we do it? And we try to look at 4, 5, 6 of those things every week. Sometimes more up than others, what fits us. Sometimes we think we like something, we get out in the practice field and it doesn't quite look like it's ready. So we have to say, you know, keep it in the crock pot for another week, or start over with a new recipe.
You've been around Douglas. Now, for what about two, Nelson is kind of like, you know, allowed him to be the versatile guy, you know, not only do that play, but also in, you know, line up outside, you know, in the slot and drive. And
I think what makes Nelson so versatile is, number one, he's a very smart player. I mean, he processes things quickly. He can learn all the positions. You know, he's always the guy in meetings. Whenever a question's asked, he's the guy who knows the answer all the time. Just a very smart player. And then secondly, he just has the attributes that you can – he has vertical speed, he has short area quickness, and he has explosiveness. So – you know, that makes it easy to want to put him in those positions.
You've been around Doug now for 2 years. What have you learned about him as a play caller?
What I've learned about him and through watching him call plays is probably a little bit more unorthodox at times than in a good way. Calling two screens back-to-back, for instance, the other day. Some of the stuff, there's other examples that I don't even want to get into, just for competitive advantage reasons. But there's other things that he's called that at the time I've thought, that's unique. I'm not sure that would have hit my brain like that. And many times those things have worked out. And so that's been fun to see and fun to work with.
How important is that chess game going to be in this game with that defense that they have?
I think it's very important. And but at the end of the day, we all would tell you, anybody who's called plays, is it really comes down to the players executing them. And I do think there is an art to play calling, for sure. And Doug is, obviously had a phenomenal year doing that. I mean, can't have a better year calling plays than he's had. So we do think that looking for that to continue.
Frank, you had six guys with like three catches, four catches, and that's really the way the whole year's gone. We haven't had a lot of superstars. How much of that is product of let's be balanced, let's spread it out, and how much of it is just kind of the offense running the way it runs? And how much more dangerous is that?
Well, I think you're exactly right. It is how we've won the whole year. And, you know, that's what we talked about today in there as an offense. We won this game like we won every other game this year. We're unselfish. We execute. We run the football. We good situationally. And, you know, and we avoid the big mistakes, minimize the big mistakes. And I just give our players a lot of credit, just unselfish and maintain it that way. And we spread the ball around. We always say, you know, Nick's like the point guard or Carson, whoever it is, just spread the ball around, read the progression. We do design plays for certain guys, but the ball invariably gets spread around.
Doug called Everson Griffin a game wrecker yesterday. Is he the guy to start the game plan with?
Well, he's definitely a premier pass rusher and player in general. He's had a great year. He's been a great player for a long time. So you got to account for him. You got to know where he's at. He's earned the respect of being called a game wrecker. He's put that on his resume for sure.
Frank, the average pass length of Nick's passes on Saturday were just 5 yards, but you guys gained over 7 yards after the catch. Is that a sustainable way to keep winning for this offense?
You know, every game's new, and we talked about that as well today. I mean, that was one of the things I think we excelled at was the run after catch. That point was made to our players today, just an aggressiveness with the ball in their hand, protecting the ball. But that's always going to change week to week, depending on coverages that are being played, depending on the flow of the game. So every week we have a variety of short, medium range passes in the game plan. We also have multiple ways to get the ball down the field, and we just kind of feel that out as we go.
You had success as a player, as a backup, not only winning games, but a lot of big games late in the season, in the playoffs. How much does that make you appreciate what Nick and what Case have been able to do to get the
Yeah, I greatly appreciate it. And I think the number one thing that I've saw from Nick is just do your job. You got really good players around you. Just execute the offense and play your game. And that's what he did.
As the game progressed, Frank, what did you see from Nick as his progression, both mentally and physically and execution-wise?
You know, I felt like in the first half we were running the ball really effectively. And I don't know what the run-pass ratio was in the first half if you take out the two-minute drive at the end of the first half, but my guess is it felt like a lot more run. In the second half, we got in a rhythm where we're throwing it just a little bit more. I felt like Nick really got in a rhythm throwing the ball and really gained a lot of confidence, you know, moving the ball down the field that way. So I saw that progression.
How far is Corey Clement coming in the passing game?
Really far. I mean, we've said it all year. That has been a surprise. I mean, you know, a running back from Wisconsin who's running power, you're not thinking he's going to come in here and be your third down back. But he's worked very hard at it and really made a role for himself.
Why is Nick good with the RPOs?
Nick's like, if you're around Nick and you know Nick's a great basketball player. He's a point guard. I mean, if he was playing basketball on the street, he's going to wheel and deal the ball. He's the guy out there. He can throw it behind his back with accuracy. He can give you the no-look pass. He can be looking one way and hit a guy. I mean, he just has that. He has that knack and feel, and that's a little bit of the RPO game. I think he's very comfortable with that.
It seems Jay had a lot of success running early, not as much in the second half. What changed in the second half?
You know, I just think it was more flow of the game. I mean, we did get a good start. He got a good start. You know, flow of the game, back and forth. I really didn't put too much into it other than more flow of the game.
Frank, there was a report that the Titans are interested in talking to you about a head coaching job. Is that something you'd be interested in?
You know what? Right now, myself, our staff are interested in one thing only. And so that's all. I have no time. When I tell you I have no time for anything, to consider anything else and how we're preparing a game plan, to beat the Vikings, that's really all we're concerned about.
Is head coaching something you want to do down the line?
I honestly have not thought much about it. It's to stay focused. I learned that a long time ago. Just enjoy the people and the process that you're in, and I love it here, and I love where we're at. We're doing a pretty special thing right here, and wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Okay, I'll jump going in a second.
You know, just his opportunity came up. And I think some of it is the run after catch. There's something about a run after catch when, you know, even if it's not a 20 or 30-yard run, but you break a couple tackles and you get 8 yards instead of, after the catch instead of three, get the first down, you know, you get that feel, hey, first down, let's go. And you could kind of feel that juice a little bit, and you could feel that he felt it. And I just think that gave him confidence and Nick confidence as well.
Right, I imagine the creativity that Doug will show as a play caller. You know, you had a big spot on fourth down on the Garrett run for a touchdown. Had Trey in the backfield functioning as a fullback. Is that something you do very often? I don't recall seeing it very much. And where did that come from, that call in that spot?
Yeah, I mean, it's something we've had in all year. It is situational. You know, we got in our goal line personnel. That Trey is versatile enough. We've put him back there in practice for some other things. We've moved him. You know, Trey can do that kind of stuff. And obviously, you saw that play. I mean, he goes in the backfield and he has a tremendous block on that play. So, just a credit to his versatility.
You guys didn't cash in on two of the red zone opportunities. Did you look back at that and felt like there were opportunities there to throw downfield as opposed to short of the sticks?
Yeah, I mean, we're used to taking advantage of those opportunities. So anytime we get down there and we don't score, we're disappointed. So thankfully, our defense was playing great. Yeah, I mean, you look and you say we could have done this, this, or that, but they played a couple. The one pass we had called, for instance, down there, that we have had so much success with, not the exact call, but a variation of a call. They covered it pretty well, and we still got a completion, but ended up short. But they had everything. The 30-some touchdowns that we've thrown, the routes that they had those covered. So we threw it underneath. It was the right place to go with the ball, but just came up short.
That was in the last drive, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Jim, getting back to Trey for a second, is that something that he really improved on? Seemed like when you put him in those spots last year, maybe he didn't make that block.
Trey?
Yeah.
I think that he's had limited opportunities in those spots back there, but this was certainly a great time to come up big in a playoff game like that.
The RPOs that were so successful in the second half, was that directly because of how well you guys ran the ball in the first half?
Yeah, I mean, I think the RPOs in general, again, you know, it's always going to be a part of our game plan every week. I think we do it very well. I think part of the success we have is that we don't overuse it. You got to do a little bit of everything to keep. If you just do it all the time, teams are too smart, defenses are too smart. Players are too smart. So you mix it up, and we've just done that exceedingly well, I think, over the course of the year.
Frank, when you look at the Vikings, statistically they're at the top, but when you watch them on tape and examine them, are they the single best defense you faced this year?
I think they are the best defense we faced this year, and I think one of the reasons why is they can get pressure with four, you know, and cover with seven. And anytime you can get pressure with four and cover with seven, that's kind of been the key to our defensive success. I mean, that's a winning formula. That's been a proven winning formula for a long time. So I think this week is a good test of that. So from the flip side of that offensively, you know, we have a challenge in front of us to be able to put together drives, find some big plays in those drives, and be smart with the football.
Okay. Thanks.